Baruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. Tonight we are studying Parashat Vayakhel. Usually, when we read Vayakhel, it's coupled with Parashat Pekudeh. But being that this year is a leap year, Vayakhel is read independently. That puts a greater challenge on the Doresh, on the Darshan. These parashiyot are somewhat repetitive. And as I said today in the ladies' class, the Hasaron is not in the Torah. The Torah has a lot to say. The Hasaron is in the Darshan that has to struggle to bring out new ideas and new points. The Hasaron is in us. The Torah, Baruch Hashem, is very, very wealthy and very rich. One of the highlights of our parasha is the subject of Shabbat. Vayomer alehem. After Moshe Rabbeinu gathers Bnei Yisrael, Vayakel Moshe et kol adat Bnei Yisrael, makes a gathering. Vayomer alehem, Ele hadevarim, Asher siva Adonai la'asot otam. He gives them a derasha. These are the things that Hashem has commanded. What are these things? Sheshet yamim ta'aseh melacha. U'bayom ha-shivi'i yeh lachem kodesh. Shabbat shabbaton l'Adonai. Kol ha'oseh bo melacha. Yumat. Lo teva'aru esh bechol moshmotechem. Ve'yom ha-shabbat. Moshe Rabbeinu gives a derasha on the laws of Shabbat and on the punishment that Shabbat has. If somebody's mehalel the Shabbat, it is the most severest of punishments that our Torah offers, and that is the punishment of sekila, that is stoning. Without getting into the gory details of stoning, it cannot be quite comfortable to be thrown off a building and then stoned to death, and that's for being mehalel Shabbat, or punishable by karet, which is also from the severest punishments. When we discuss Shabbat, we're reminded of the central role that Shabbat plays in Yahadut. So central that the Torah calls it an ot. Ot hi le'olam. It is a sign, b'ni u'ben, b'nei Yisrael. It is a sign between us and God. What does this ot mean? What is this sign? So the famous parable of the Hafetz Chaim, which is worthy to mention. The Hafetz Chaim says, a person has a store. He has business. He's not open every day of the year. Sometimes he goes on vacation. So he shuts the gate of the store. But the people know that he's still in business, but he's just temporarily out of town. How do they know he's still in business? Because the sign, the storefront, is still up. As long as the sign of the store is still up, so you know there's a business. However, once already the proprietor of the store takes down the sign, so now you know he's permanently gone, he's not coming back. Says the Hafetz Chaim, Oti le'olam. A Jewish person is obligated to keep Tariag Mitzvot. But unfortunately, sometimes we're delinquent. We don't keep all the Mitzvot for one reason or another. But as long as Shabbat, as long as the sign of Shabbat is still displayed, that means we're still connected to the ranks of Judaism. However, once a person is mehalel Shabbat and he doesn't keep Shabbat, it's like he took down the sign. That's already an indication that he has defected from the ranks of Judaism. That he is no longer part of Yahadut. Oti le'olam, it is the storefront, it is the sign. So the sign is up, you're Shomer Shabbat, okay, so you have this problem, maybe you're not careful in this, but you're still in the game, you're still in Klal Yisrael. Once already a person becomes Hatzom and Mehalel Shabbat, he has taken down that sign. He has no longer considered part of Am Yisrael. Harambam writes to that effect, Magaho Yayin Nesech, a Mehalel Shabbat, B'mezid, on purpose, that touches the wine, it's like a goy touching the wine. He comes to make a minyan, mehalel Shabbat b'mezid, b'farhesya, You cannot count them as a tent for the minyan. So you see, it's considered a defection. It's considered a person. You have a person who speaks Lashon Hara, you're still in the game. You're not the best person, but you're in the game. Other averot, you're still there. Shabbat, the ot is down. With this, I saw one interpretation on the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ushmartem et haShabbat, ki kodesh ilachem, mechalele hamot yumat, ki kol haoseh melacha, v'nechleta nefesh hayim mekerev ameha." The pasuk says you should keep the Shabbat, ki kodesh ilachem, because it is indeed holy. Mechaleleha mot yumat, those that desecrate the Shabbat, mot yumat, they get punished by sekila. Ki, because, kol ha'oseh melacha, anybody that does melacha on Shabbat, v'nechleta nefesh hayim, will get karet. The pasuk doesn't make any sense. What does it mean? Mechaleleha mot yumat, the people that desecrate Shabbat are going to get sekila. You know why? Ki kol ha'oseh melacha, because anybody that does melacha gets karet. But the reason for the punishment of Sikila is because of another punishment. It doesn't make sense, the construction of the Pasuk. What is the key coming to tell me? Because the reason why you're going to get Sikila is because you get Karet. What does one reason have to do with the other? So I saw from the Ktav Kabbalah, brings down the following interpretation. When it says, is not talking about the general karet that we're familiar with, the karet of punishment. This v'nichreta is referring to a different type of karet. When it says, "My God forbid somebody that gets divorced," it says v'chatav la sefer kiritut. It's talking about a karet of separation, a karet of division, a karet that causes a block between two people. The Torah is telling you, you know why the punishment of Chilul Shabbat is so severe? Do you know why the punishment is mot yumat? Ki kol ha'oseh melacha, because if anybody does melacha, v'nichreta, he has caused a separation between him and God. He has divorced himself from the Holy Shekhinah. That's the reason why you get sekila. It's not another sin which is considered a blemish on the person's soul. This is considered as if he's divorced himself from God Almighty. V'nichreta, he has given God, so to speak, a get kiritut. V'nichreta. And therefore, mechalelei hamot yumat. That's how serious the inyanim of Shabbat are. Of course, we're familiar that one cannot be considered a Shomer Shabbat until he learns Hilchot Shabbat. Shomer Shabbat is a very relative statement. Everybody thinks they're a Shomer Shabbat. You ask anybody in the street, "Are you a Shomer Shabbat?" "Yeah, I'm Shomer Shabbat." What does Shomer Shabbat mean? To one person, it means he doesn't turn on lights. To another person, it means he doesn't turn off lights. To another person, he doesn't change channels. Everybody, the volume. Everybody has their understanding based on the what they learned, or more importantly, what they didn't learn. There are 39 melachot that are forbidden on Shabbat. That doesn't mean there are 39 forbidden things. I want to make it clear. There are 39 categories that are forbidden on Shabbat. And each category has subcategories. Like the Gemara says, that there are Lamed tet melachot, 40 haser ehad, 39 melachot. So the Gemara says these are the avot, these are the fathers. Avot mechlal de'ika toladot. If there's fathers, that means there's subcategories as well. And until a Jew studies all 39 categories, he cannot be a true Shomer Shabbat. You see, Shabbat is not like other laws where you can maybe guess the law. For example, the laws of Lashon Hara, even if you didn't study all the laws, you know in your gut that what you're speaking is wrong. You know you shouldn't say it. You have that feel. The conscience sometimes tells you, you know, I don't know what the Hafetz Chaim said, but this can't be permissible, what this person just said or what I just heard. But on the laws of Shabbat, the gut doesn't tell you the law. Because how are you supposed to know that you're not allowed to select good from bad? You don't think about that on Shabbat. You don't think about the laws of Borer, or the A person might say to himself, what's the matter with standing on a scale on Shabbat? I want to weigh myself. What's the problem? The scale's not electronic. I don't want to stand on the scale. I want to see how much I gained from Neil Shabbat to Sa'udah Shlishit. I want to see exactly my intake. I want to stand on a scale. Besides the fact that it ruins Onik Shabbat, obviously, when you're going to stand on the scale. What could be wrong with it? There's a whole she'ela. Could you measure on Shabbat? You have to measure Medida on Shabbat. Could you take the temperature of a child? All she'elot, million she'elot. The majority of, I shouldn't say majority, but the lion's share of the Mishnah Berurah, one full section, Chelek Gimel, and the beginning of Chelek Dalet is only called Shabbat. Gemara Shabbat is over 150 pages. Generally speaking, it should take about 5 years, if you do it correctly, to study Masechet Shabbat with the Rishonim and the Bet Yosef and the Halakha Lemaaseh. So therefore, everybody should come to the conclusion that to be a Shomer Shabbat, you have to be a Lomed Hilchot Shabbat, you have to study the laws. Now, there is a great misconception. It's worthy to clarify this misconception. When we talk about Shabbat as a day of rest, the Pasuk says, Vayanach Bayom HaShivi'i, God rested on the seventh day. So we interpret it, oh, so he rested, so it's a day of rest and relaxation. It's a passive day. It's a day of inactivity. It's a day where you sleep and you let yourself be a little more calm, as they say, and loose. Vayanach, I want to be like God. God rested. And the question is obvious. Did God need to rest on the seventh day? But was God tired from the 6 days of creation? That he needed a break 6 days already? Borei Olam was fatigued, Chas v'Shalom. So how do we interpret Vayanach? Now it's very important that we get a good interpretation of Vayanach Bayom HaShivi'i. Because here lies the essence of the mistake, how people perceive what Shabbat is. From this pasuk, Vayanach, God rested, so therefore it's a day of rest. I note to you what the Chizkuni says. The Chizkuni writes on that pasuk, Vayanach Bayom HaShivi'i, that it cannot be talking about a rest of fatigue. Because the pasuk says in the Navi, Lo yi'af ve'lo yiga. God does not weary, God does not fatigue. She'lo betorach barahu et olamo. God did not create the world with any exertion. So what does Vayanach mean? Says the Chizkuni, as well as Harambam in Moreh Nevuchim, as well as Rav Sa'adya Gaon, Vayanach means he ceased from doing work. That's a big difference. Not he rested from fatigue. He stopped working. And therefore, since God stopped working, melacha, so therefore it is forbidden for us to do melacha as well. What is melacha? Here we come into another misconception. Halachot Shabbat are very tricky. People think that the word melacha refers to a melacha that has exertion. Therefore, they might rationalize and say, what's the matter with turning on a light on Shabbat? There's no Torah. It's easy. And it makes my Shabbat more comfortable. It's a flick, nothing. I understand in the olden days, to make a fire, you had to rub stones. But today it's easy. And therefore, the way they look at melacha is, if you sweat, asur. If it's easy, mutar. But we know that's not true. Halakha. A person has his dining room table. It weighs 650 pounds. That's not the halakha. The halakha is, he wants to move it. He wants to move it to center it under a chandelier. In his house. Can you move your dining room table on Shabbat? Mutar. Why not? It's in the privacy of your own home. You could lift it up like a mover, exert yourself, and center it. Good. After lunch, person wants to go take a walk on Ocean Parkway. So he wants to take sunny day, spring day, beautiful. He wants to take a few seeds, a few sunflower seeds in his pocket. Chabot Shabbat Kodesh. Why not walk on Osher Parkway like a bird? Chew a little on the seeds, throw the peels, why not? Could anything be more beautiful than walking on Osher Parkway to have some sunflower seeds? Me'ayin olam haba. According to the Torah, mechalelei amot yumat. You take the guy, you throw him off a building for that. For what? For enjoying Shabbat with some business? What's the problem? Not only that, forget about sunflower seeds. As we said today, a person takes a simsum. You know what simsum is? A sesame seed. He takes one, he goes into the bag of sesame. He takes one sesame seed. How big is a sesame seed? Nothing. Small. It's a dot. He puts it on his finger. And he walks out into the public domain with a sesame seed. You take him, you throw him off a building. The guy moved a 650-pound dining room table. Nothing. Go to sleep. You did nothing. Shabbat shalom. So you see over here that when we talk about melacha, we're not discussing exertion. It's not that what's more difficult or not. So then what is the gedir? How do we define melacha on Shabbat? So you have to listen to a very important gedir, a very important definition. These 39 categories that we're talking about, where did they come from? Who made up the 39 categories? Very good. These were the 39 work, 39 procedures, we'll call them, that were used in the construction of the Mishkan. So we learned the 39 forbidden melachot from the Mishkan. Whatever Bezalel created, so that becomes forbidden. He plowed, so plowing becomes forbidden. He sowed, sowing becomes forbidden. He wrote, he erased, whatever Bezalel did, that is a category, and now it becomes a Shabbat category. The work in the Mishkan not necessarily was difficult or hard labor, but it was constructive labor. That's what I just said. Anything that is considered constructive is considered a melacha on Shabbat, because everything in the Mishkan was to construct. Therefore, even though to sign your name, that doesn't take too much work. To sign your initials, two letters, EM, easy. It's not easy. You do something constructive. You accomplish something that is, so you're going to tell me, Rabbi, erasing. Why is erasing forbidden on Shabbat? Erasing is not constructive, it's destructive. I took the letters, I erased it. You're right. The only time erasing is assumed from the Torah is when you erase in order to write two more letters in the same spot. So I'm erasing with a constructive purpose. Now don't misunderstand me. Please don't misunderstand me. If somebody erases on Shabbat, it's asur. Even if he doesn't write two more letters. But the isur of the Torah is only constructive. For example, he builds. Construction. He disassembles, it's forbidden. Why? That's not constructive. Because it's talking about where you disassemble with intention to reassemble. You didn't like the way it was fixed. You didn't like the way it was built, right? So you take it apart to put it together again. So that's a destruction that's really construction. That's what a melacha is. I'm telling you this because there's one of the 39 melachot that the Gemara calls a melacha girua. It's an inferior melacha. And people don't think it's forbidden, but it's forbidden. And that is the melacha of carrying. Why? Because all the 38 melachot, you're doing something to an object, you're changing it. I have wheat. I grind it. You change the wheat to flour. I have a piece of leather. I tan it. I change it. I did something to it. I have a sheep. I shear it. I did something to it. All the melachot, I burnt something. I changed it. I cooked it. I took it from raw to cooked. All the melachot make a change in the object. Carrying, on the other hand, I didn't change the object. All I did was transfer it from one place to the other. It's the same object. It's not technically a work that's done on the object. So people rationalize to think that it is permissible. Not only is it not permissible carrying, but there is no melacha that the Gemara talks about more than Hotza'ah. The first chapter of Masechet Shabbat, Yitziyot HaShabbat, all talks about carrying. There's another chapter later on, the 11th chapter of Masechet Shabbat, Perek HaZorek. The whole chapter talks about carrying. The entire Masechet Erubin talks about carrying. So therefore, the reason why the Gemara has to speak so much about it, because people think that it's okay, that it's mutar. Very often, unfortunately, we see people on Shabbat walking with their children. And the child decides that he doesn't want to walk anymore. He goes on strike. So you see major negotiations taking place. How many lollipops are you going to get? And a balloon? I'll give you a raise and an allowance. Just get up and walk home. But it doesn't always work. And then the parents buckle and they pick up the kid and they walk him home. And I saw one parent like that. I said, Shabbat Kodesh today. And they said, no, Rabbi, I went to a class once. And I learned in Halakha, Hay Noseh Ta'atzmo. Gemara says, a living being carries his own weight. So therefore it's really not forbidden. Wrong. It's not forbidden maybe from the Torah, but it is certainly forbidden from the Achamim, even to carry a baby in the public domain. Certainly to wheel a stroller in the public domain. This is considered Hilul Shabbat. A stroller already is considered Isur De'oraita. Carrying the baby alone is Isur De'rabanan, but it is Isur. And especially when it's done in the public domain. But again, people don't, what am I doing? I didn't do anything, I didn't give the kid a haircut. I didn't cut his nails. I didn't change him. I'm just transferring. Halakha. I know this is not a halakha class. I'm making a point. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat. Very quickly. Highlight of Rosh Hashanah is the shofar. The Gemara says, it is the shofar's sounds that bring the judgment up to Kadosh Baruch Hu and sweeten it for us. Everything on Rosh Hashanah is dependent on the tiki'ot. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat. Halakha, we don't blow shofar. Why? Who said this? The rabbis. Gezerah de Rabbah. Why? What Rabbah, what do you want from us? Why are you taking away our shofar? Because I'm worried that somebody might carry the shofar 4 steps in the public domain. Time out. Who's going to carry the shofar in the public domain? Who usually blows the shofar? The rabbi. Usually the biggest hasid of the congregation blows the shofar. So I'm worried about that. A rabbi might forget that it's Shabbat? Now when is he going to forget it's Shabbat? On Rosh Hashanah he's going to forget that it's Shabbat? If there's any day in the year that you're going to remember what day it is, Rosh Hashanah is being judged. No, he might forget that it's Shabbat. And what? He's going to carry the shofar 4 steps in the public domain. Listen to what I'm going to tell you now. What do you mean 4 steps in the public domain? That means the shofar was in the public domain already. Gentlemen, ladies, next Rosh Hashanah walk on Ocean Parkway. Tell me how many shofars you see lying on the bench on Ocean Parkway. You're worried that there's going to be a shofar in the public domain already. The rabbi is going to see the shofar, forget that it's Shabbat, pick it up, walk 4 steps. There's no odds that this will happen. This is the most remote gezerah, maybe, of all Chazal. And for such a remote case. So what? Nobody can blow shofar? Ban the whole concept? And you know what I say? I mean, I wasn't invited to that rabbinical council meeting when they voted, but my opinion would have been, listen, it's a remote gezerah, and I agree, maybe there's a 1% chance that one modern guy that doesn't know too much, he might carry the shofar, granted. But for one guy, you're going to ruin it for everybody else? Let him carry it, let him go to Gehinnam, and leave me alone. What are you punishing all Klal Yisrael for a shachan, for a forgetful person? Because you don't know that it's Shabbat that you're going to carry this shofar. You're going to spoil it for the rest of Klal Yisrael? I want to hear the shofar. No, should I? I want to have a good judgment. But the rabbi said, you know what? Carrying, very serious. We don't even want to take a chance. And it's worthy to remove the entire shofar from Rosh Hashanah of Shabbat to preserve the Shabbat. V'hu adin l'sukkah, v'hu adin l'megillah. This year, Purim in Jerusalem is going to be on Shabbat. The 15th of Adar is Shabbat this year. Jews of Jerusalem generally read the Megillah on the 15th. This year, they do not read the Megillah on the 15th. They read the Megillah on the Friday before, like us. Today, even the Yerushalmim, they become like New Yorkers. They have deal for a day. They read it on the day that like us. Why? Because we're worried that somebody might carry the Megillah in the public domain, four steps. So therefore, do away with the whole takana of reading Megillah on the 15th. Again, I ask you, who usually reads the Megillah in the synagogue? Yeah, the rabbi, a scholar, a hazan, somebody that knows. So you're going to do away with the whole Purim. Now you turn it a Purim into a whole halachic debacle, Purim Mishulash. Friday they read the Megillah, Shabbat they read Amalek, Sunday they do the Seudah, and you turn over the whole Purim. Why? Because of one Gezerah. Because I'm worried about one, again, Shachan, a forgetful person, that's going to carry the Megillah in the public domain. So you spoil it for the whole Klal Yisrael. Why? Shabbat. Shabbat. And the same thing applies to Lulav as well. And that's worthy to remember. That the melachot on Shabbat are constructive melachot, and even carrying, which is not a constructive melacha, it's just a transfer, it is asur nonetheless. The Torah tells us, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael ta Shabbat, La'asot et ha-Shabbat. That you must keep the Shabbat, La'asot et ha-Shabbat. To do the Shabbat. La'asot. What do you mean, La'asot? La'asot is to do. I thought on Shabbat it's the day of not doing. It's a day of abstention. And here it says, no, the Shabbat is La'asot, to make the Shabbat. That means Shabbat is not necessarily a passive day, it's an active day. How? If we look at the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments were written twice, once in Parashat Yitro, the other time in Parashat Va'etchanan. In Parashat Yitro, when God is telling us to keep the Shabbat, it says, Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim v'ta'aretz. We keep the Shabbat as zecher l'ma'aseh bereshit, in order to remember that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Not rested on the seventh. Don't say rested. We learned that already. He ceased from doing work on the seventh. God did not rest on the seventh. He ceased from doing work. In Parashat Yitro it says, I'm sorry, in Va'et Hanan it says, keep the Shabbat. Why? V'zacharta ki eved hayita b'Mitzrayim. You have to remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and God took you out. Biyad hazaka b'zroa netuya. It's a totally different reason. You're keeping Shabbat zecher l'siyat Mitzrayim. Make up your mind. Is Shabbat zecher l'ma'aseh bereshit or is Shabbat zecher l'siyat Mitzrayim? And I have no problem. To tell me that it's zecher l'ma'aseh bereshit makes sense. God created the world in 6 days. He stopped working on the seventh. Makes sense. What does Egypt have to do with Shabbat? Because God took us out of Egypt, you have to keep Shabbat. That explains to me Pesach. But what does it got to do with Shabbat? Zecher l'siyat Mitzrayim. We say it in the Kiddush. What? What does Shabbat have to do with Egypt? So listen to what the Midrash writes. Paro comes to Moshe and tells Moshe, we're not getting good productivity. Am Yisrael is lagging. The numbers are off. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Paro, You can't work people 7 days a week and expect to maintain the same level of productivity. You have to give them a day off just to re-energize themselves, just to regain their strength. And from a business standpoint, Paro heard that. He said, it makes sense. Give them a day off to recoup. So Paro says, all right, which day do you think we should give them off? So Moshe Rabbeinu on his own says, give them off the seventh day. There was no Shabbat then. He picked the seventh day on his own. Later on, when God gave the Ten Commandments, and he said, Zachor et Yom Shabbat, keep the seventh day, Moshe Rabbeinu was happy. Huh? Baruch Shekivanti, that was the day I picked. I got the right day. Yismach Moshe b'matenat chelko. Moshe Rabbeinu was happy, because he could have told him, give him off on Monday, like the barbers. No. Instead he told him, take Shabbat. Well, you got Shabbat. You know, he figured it out. When God said, that's the day of the rest, good. So now listen to what's being explained over here. The Shabbat in Egypt was a much different Shabbat than the Shabbat in the Midbar. The Shabbat in Egypt was what we'd call a day of rest. They slept. It was to prepare them for Sunday. Because Sunday they knew they had to be back in the slave camps. So they needed Shabbat to regain some of their strength so they'll be able to function during the work week. Shabbat wasn't a day for itself. It was a preparatory day for the upcoming 6 days. However, the Shabbat in the Midbar was much different. They didn't work in the Midbar. There was no labor in the Midbar. There was no toiling. Everything was easy. They woke up, the man was by their doorsteps. They had the well following them to give them water. The clouds of glory paved the roads for them. Ironed their clothes, polished their shoes. So when they woke up in the Midbar, all they did was study and learn. There was no exertion. So the Shabbat in the Midbar served a different purpose. It wasn't merely a day of rest. On the contrary, Shabbat was just a continuation of the spiritual week that they had, but on a higher level. Shabbat, where they received the extra neshama, the extra soul, they were able to serve God spiritually on a higher plane. And that's the real essence of Shabbat. La'asot et ha-Shabbat. The Shabbat is supposed to be a spiritually active day. Now God tells the Jewish people in Parashat Ve'etchanan, when they're about to go into the land of Israel, now it's going to change. Now no longer are they going to have an easy lifestyle. Now they have to go to the farm. They have to plow. They have to work. They have to make a living. Now the 6 days of the week are going to become laborious. Now it's going to become difficult. So God reminds the Jewish people, remember Egypt. Remember the Shabbat in Egypt. The Shabbat in Egypt was a Shabbat of rest. Don't make that mistake when you go into Eretz Yisrael. God's reminding them, keep the Shabbat like you kept it in the Midbar. Not a day of laziness, not a day of sleeping, a day of spiritual growth. And that's why before they came into Eretz Yisrael, God has to tell them, V'zacharta, remember ki eved hayita b'Mitzrayim. Remember you were a slave in Egypt. And remember what that Shabbat was. That wasn't a Shabbat. That was a day off. That's not Shabbat Kodesh. And don't fall back into that trap of the Shabbat of Egypt, because now you're going to be in the same situation. You're going to be working for 6 days. You're going to be tired on Shabbat. It's almost as if God was saying, remember what happened in Egypt and don't do it. Remember the Shabbat of Egypt and forget it. Because that's not what the Shabbat is supposed to be to you. Shabbat is a day of spiritual activity. That being said, if you look in our parasha, the language of the pasuk says, Sheshet yamim te'aseh melacha. 6 days te'aseh melacha. Te'aseh melacha means work will be done.
וביום השביעי יהיה לכם קודש.
And on the seventh day it'll be for you holy.
However, in another pasuk it says, ששת ימים תעבוד.
It says, 6 days you shall work.
וביום השביעי שבת להשם.
And on the seventh day the Shabbat belongs to God. Two discrepancies in this pasuk.
One pasuk says ta'aseh melacha, one says ta'avod. One pasuk says yehye lachem, and one pasuk says Shabbat lahashem.
So I saw a wonderful interpretation. There's two different types of people. And based on what your profession is, that's what your Shabbat becomes. What does it mean? You have talmidei chachamim that are studying Torah the entire week. They're learning. They don't really have a profession of work per se. Their work is done by others. They receive a stipend in the yeshiva, in the kollel, and they're committed to the study of work, the study of the Torah, that is, the study of learning. And therefore when Shabbat comes, to them the Shabbat is a day where they're able to spiritually relax a drop and involve themselves in some physical pleasure, like eating, like maybe sleeping a little more than they usually do, because they're learning the whole week. And therefore, they deprive themselves of sleep during the week, they deprive themselves of eating during the week, the Talmidei Chachamim. So Shabbat comes, okay, you can enjoy yourself a little more. It is said even the great Arizal used to sleep on Shabbat. So the Pasuk says about the Talmidei Chachamim, Sheshet Yamim Te'aseh Melacha, 6 days the work will be done for you. Who is the work done for? The Chachamim, they don't work. And therefore, since you're learning all week, ubayom ha'shiviyeh yiyeh lachem, the Shabbat can be for you. You can enjoy the Shabbat. However, it's for the businessman. The businessman, which includes most of the audience, those that are involved in commerce the entire week, they're not able to learn as much as they're supposed to. The businessman wishes he could learn 2, 3, 4 hours a day, but he can't. So the rabbis tell us, you're able to borrow from the weekdays and pay back on Shabbat. I should have learned the half hour today. Okay, I owe it. I should have learned the half hour the next day. I owe it. Come Shabbat, you owe 2.5 hours to the Beit Midrash. Now you have no excuse. Therefore the Pasuk says, Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod. For those people that are working for 6 days, they're in the workplace, they're not able to learn. Ubayom ha'shivi'i Shabbat la'Hashem. To them, the Shabbat belongs to God. They cannot come along and wear the cloak of Talmidei Chachamim and sleep the day away and eat the day away. That's what you've been doing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Shabbat comes, you must find yourself in the yeshiva, you must find yourself in the Beit Midrash. You must attend more classes. That's the inyan of the limud on Lel Shabbat. Friday night's a long night. Shabbat morning, class. Shabbat afternoon, class. Shabbat shlishi, chiur. You have to make up. Torah's realistic. Shesh tamim tavo, I gotta work. But the workers, the Shabbat is lahashem. The learners, Shabbat lachem. Shabbat belongs to you. You can have a little more physical pleasure because you've deprived the physical during the week, so you can get a payback on Shabbat. But the businessman deprives the spiritual all week long, so he has to pay it back on Shabbat. That's the difference. We go a little further. Our Torah, or Hachamim, refer to Shabbat as Hamdat Yamim. What is Hamdat Yamim? Hamdat Yamim is a day of, it's a treasure. Hamdah is it's hamud, it's pleasurable, it's special. God gave it that name. Hamdat Yamim oto karata, we say in the Tefillah. God says the Shabbat is a treasure. It's a precious commodity.
God's calling it that. Hamdat temim oto karata, like we say in the Tefillah. So the Rishonim ask, where do you see God called Shabbat Hamdat Yamim? Where? Look at the whole Torah. It doesn't say one place that God called the Shabbat Hamdat Yamim, a treasure. So I saw on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vaychal Elohim Bayom HaShavi'i. What does it mean? Vaychal literally means God finished. Vaychal Elohim Bayom HaShavi'i. God finished His work on the seventh day. Look at the Targum of the Yerushalmi on this Pasuk. Fantastic Yerushalmi. Vaychal Elohim Bayom HaShavi'i V'hamid Hashem B'yomah Shevi'a'a. And God found the Shabbat to be a treasure. Hamid. How does he interpret the Pasuk? Vaychal Elohim V'hamid Hamdat Yamim. So the Pshat is like this. The word Vaychal could mean he finished. He finished his work. But Vaychal also can mean, like we say in the Pasuk, Nichsefa vegam kaleta nafshi. Kaleta also means to yearn, to anticipate. Something pleasurable, you're waiting for it. Kaleta nafshi, I'm waiting with great eagerness. Vaychal Elohim et yom ha-shivi'i. V'hamid, God says, the day of Shabbat is so precious. You have to anticipate it. You have to yearn it. It's like a special gift. V'hamid. Hamdat yamim oto karata. V'chal Elohim. God yearned it. God's waiting for it. The Sephardim have a custom. On Shabbat, we have our traditional foods. One of the foods that we eat on this Shabbat is Hamid. Kebihamda. Why? Where did they get that from? Hamdat Yamim oto karata. Hamdat Yamim, Hamid, the Hamid, from this Vaychal Elohim. Even the foods that we eat are significant. That's Stam that they pick these foods. We go further. How do I explain this next concept to you? I don't want to go over our heads, but I think it's an important point. When God created the world originally, it says, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. Originally, God created the world with the name Elohim. Elohim is judgment. Whatever this means, what I'm going to tell you now, it means some sort of God, in His original plan, the world was supposed to be created with strict justice. How do I understand that? There's no clemency. There's no mercy. A person makes one small mistake, hayav. There's no second chance. There's no teshuvah. It's Bereshit bara Elohim. There's no room for error in Bereshit bara Elohim. But what happened? Later on in Sefer Bereshit, it says that God realized, whatever that means, that the world cannot exist with strict justice. Nobody will make it. So He added Rahamim to the deen. Why? What does it say? The Pasuk says, Vaychullu ha-shamayim v'aretz v'chol seva'am. The world was finished. Vaychal Elohim b'yom ha-shivi'i melachto asher asa. He finished His work. Vayishbot b'yom ha-shivi'i melachto asher asa. He ceased to do work. Vaybarek l'yom ha-shivi'i kedushato. He blessed the Shabbat. Kibo shevah mikom melachto asher asa l'ma'asot. Ele toledot ha-shamayim v'aretz b'vareham. This is the story of the creation of the heavens and the earth. B'yom asot Adonai Elohim. Eretz v'shamayim. Oh, He added the Havayah to the creation because He knew the world could not exist. So the world becomes now with Midat Rahamim. When did God add the Midat Rahamim? Only after Shabbat was created. That's what I'm telling you now. before there was a Shabbat in the world, there was only judgment. What sweetened the judgment? The seventh day came, it brought a tremendous amount of rahamim down to the world. Only after Shabbat was there able to be rahamim in the world. So you see over here, Rabbotai, the Shabbat has the ability to be mematek the deen. Its existence, a person lives through a Shabbat, there's a tremendous mituk taking place, a sweetness of the judgment. It has been said that that's why Brit Milah is on the eighth day. Why? Because for a child to successfully make it through his Brit Milah, he has to live through a Shabbat. Because once he lives through a Shabbat, he has the Rahamim on him. He has the Rahamim, he'll succeed in the Brit Milah. He's got to have 8 days. He's got to live through a Shabbat at least. And that's what the Pasuk means over here, maybe. Vaychal Elohim bayom ha-shivi'i. You know what the Pasuk means in depth? And Elohim was finished on the seventh day. Which means the plan of Bereshit bara Elohim. Vaychal Elohim bayom ha-shivi'i. It finished. There was no more just judgment. Starting on Shabbat, it became Biyom Asot Hashem Elohim. Vaychal Elohim. To be that Tadin finished on that day. And that still happens today. Every Shabbat, there's a tremendous amount of Rahmanut. How do we visit sick people on Shabbat? Halakha. We're allowed to visit the sick people on Shabbat. And we're allowed to pray for them. But on Shabbat, we say the following prayer. Shabbat him milizok. Urfuatam kirobalabo. It is Shabbat. Shabbat he, it is Shabbat today, milizok, and therefore we cannot cry out to God. But you know what? The refuah will come, but we cannot pray. Why can't you pray? Because the Shabbat itself is the refuah. Shabbat he, it's Shabbat today, midat rahamim's in the world, so what do you have to scream for? Shabbat he, Shabbat milizok, what do you have to scream? This is the ultimate mituk. Shabbat is a refuah in itself. Therefore, refuah tokur balabo. The refuah is immediately going to come. The Arizal said, just as a tidbit, a side point, Shabbat himil izok is actually Rashi Tevot. Shabbat, Sheen. He is He, mil izok Mem. Backwards, it's Mem, He, Sheen. He says that's one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mem Heshin. And that name has the ability to heal. Therefore, when you bless the sick people on Shabbat, you have Kavara Shabbat, Milzok, Rashi Tevot, Mem Heshin. Therefore, if we're talking about Abo, because you've alluded to that holy name. With this, the Darshanim say on the Pasuk, Moshe Yedaber, Veha Elohim Ya'anenu Bekol. Moshe Yedaber, Moshe Rashi Tevot, Shabbat Him Milzok. When a person comes along and speaks, Moshe, Moshe Yedaber, Veha Elohim Ya'anenu, God will answer him, Bekol, Kol Rashi Tevot, Veha Urfuato Kirobalabo. Kol, Kov Vav Lamed, Urfuato Kirobalabo. Moshe Yedaber. You say, Shabbat Him Milzok, Rashi Tevot, Moshe. Elohim, what does God do? Ya'anennu bekol. He answers bekol. Kol rashet vot urfuato kiroba labo. Now, I want to go a little further. There's much to say on this anyan of the Shabbat. Mechalele ha-mot yumat. Simply means those that desecrate the Shabbat suffer a death penalty. Somebody once said, Torah says you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbat. So one of these modernists came along and said, electricity is not fire. Fire means rubbing two stones, making... electricity is not considered fire. So one rabbi said,
that after 120 years, when he goes up to Olam Abba, they say, you're the guy that said electricity is not fire? Yeah, it's not fire. Well, it's, you know, it's nothing. It's friction. Good. Michal, we have a seat for you. Please sit down over here. And they're going to plug it in. So what are you doing over here? Well, we're going to plug it in. So you said it's not fire. The guy's going to jump for his life. They put him in an electric chair. Then we'll see how much it's not fire. When his hair stands up and the guy becomes a human shawarma, a human shish kebab, then we'll see exactly how much it's not fire. Shabbati milizok. In any event, I want to explain in depth, if I can, if I can convey this, what does it mean, mehalelei hamot yumat? The Shabbat is actually the heartbeat of the entire week. All the days of the week live and have their nourishment and their strength from the Shabbat. Shabbat is the heartbeat. Shabbat is not the weekend. According to the Zohar, Shabbat is the week center. What do I mean to say? The way we look at Shabbat, there's a Mazon Shabbat right in the middle. You have the 3 days before the Shabbat, that's called Kamesh Shabbeta. And you have the 3 days after the Shabbat, that's called Batar Shabbeta. The Shabbat emits Kiddusha and it affects Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and it affects Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So each Shabbat actually is giving Hayut to the 3 days before it and to the 3 days after it, which means right now we're on Thursday, let's say, for argument's sake. It's really Friday, as we'll see in a minute. So already, today's existence is already, we're eating off the coming Shabbat. Shabbat will be over, but say Shabbat, Sunday. Sunday, we're still eating off the previous Shabbat. The rays are still emanating till Tuesday. That's why the halakha says, if a person didn't make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat, he can make Havdalah till Tuesday. Strange, you see a guy making Havdalah on Tuesday. What are you doing? I didn't make it. He slept for 2 days. But the point is, what? That's the Inyan of Shabbat. But I want to tell you deeper. The way the Mikubalim explain it, if you're writing notes, draw for yourself a circle. Okay, this is not the most geometrical circle, but it's good enough for our purposes. Yeah. The Shabbat is at the center. That is the central point of your circle. Point. It's a nekuda. And now, in your circle, we're going to make six boxes, so to speak. It's not a box, six, what are called slices, or six empty spaces. That's a better way of saying it. We'll draw a line right down the center. We'll draw a line right across. That gives us four spaces. And then we'll draw a diagonal as well. And that'll give us a circle with six spaces. And it's all connected to the center point. You understand? You can only split a circle into six spaces if you start from a central point. Listen clear to what I'm saying. If you just draw a regular circle, it's not divided into six parts. The only way to divide it is you have to make a nikuda imsa'it, correct? A central starting point. And from there, you're able to connect into your central point and divide the circle into six spaces. I know I'm talking a little over your head. I'm reminding you of geometry class, maybe. I don't want to bring anybody to nightmares, especially. But listen to what's being said. That means all these are the days of the week. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav. And they all get their nourishment from where? From the Nikudaim Sa'it. But what would happen in this circle that we drew if you took away that central piece? Now you created a space in the center as well. You took away the dot. Once you create a space in the center, no longer do you have the other six individual spaces. So far, so good. Take away that central piece now, you cannot divide the circle. Now that means you have taken away the chiyut of the other days. That's the depth. Mehalaleha. When you make a halal, when you remove the Shabbat, mehalaleha melashon halal, a vacuum, an empty space. Mehalaleha. When you take the centerpiece out, mot yumat means the rest of the days now do not have a chiyut. They do not have an existence. What does that mean? Panasa, hatzla, whatever beracha comes, as long as the centerpiece is there, remove it. You made a halal now in the center of your circle. No rays can be sent out. That's the depth of mehalaleha mot yumat. I heard a story this afternoon. You see what the Shabbat is. The power of the Shabbat. I had the privilege to talk to a dear friend of mine, Rav Nassim Sherman, from Art Scroll. So we're talking about different inyanim. I said, Rabbi Sherman, a story on Shabbat. Man is a wellspring of information. He said, Rabbi Elam, I'm going to tell you a good story for Shabbat. He said, there was already in Europe the beginning of Hilul Shabbat. There was a certain store, a certain company, whatever it was, a factory that opened on Shabbat. So the former Rosh Hashiva, the Mir Yeshiva, Rabbi Kalmanowitz, went to the Hafetz Chaim, and he told the Hafetz Chaim, listen, already Hilul Shabbat is beginning in this certain town, and if we don't go and stop it, so it's going to spread like a plague, and then this guy opens up, and the next guy opens up. So please, the saintly Hafetz Chaim, you have to go to the town, and you have to give them a musar. So the Hafetz Chaim tells Rav Kalmanowitz, you're a better speaker than I am. You're more eloquent. You go there and you give the derasha. I'm going to go give the derasha. He says, I'm not going to be as successful, and I'm not going to be as able to persuade them, persuasive. You go. Well, Kalmanowitz, the Hafetz Chaim tells him he has to go. He went. And he spoke, he gave the derasha. And he was successful, like the Hafetz Chaim said he would be. Good. Later on, however later it was, a year later, however long it was, the Hafetz Chaim and Rav Kalmanowitz are going together on a coach to a certain city for chizuk, to give chizuk. They get to the city, a lady comes running, a husband, a man comes running to him, to the Hafetz Chaim. His wife is in labor. The baby is besekana. The mother is besekana, in danger. They need an urgent blessing from the Hafetz Chaim that everything should be okay. So the Hafetz Chaim turns to Rav Kalmanowitz. Give the lady a blessing. Hey, it's me. I should give a blessing. Hafetz Chaim, they come for me. Give her a blessing. Give him a blessing. Kalmanowitz listens to the words of the tzaddik. He gives the beracha. Sure enough, the mother's fine. The baby comes out okay. So Rav Kalmanowitz asks the Hafetz Chaim, Hakam, you put it on me to give the beracha. He says, I'm going to explain it to you. The Mishnah says in Shabbat, that, God forbid, ladies die during childbirth for one of three reasons. It's either because they're not careful in the laws of family purity, or they're not careful in the laws of halah, taking the challah, or they're not careful in the laws of hadlakat nerot, the laws of Shabbat. So I said to myself that from this Mishnah you see what? That Shemirat Shabbat, keeping of the Shabbat, is a sigula for a lady to give birth. It's a sigula for a lady to be, and we're talking about a religious lady over here. We're talking about a lady that she must be keeping these three laws. But I said to myself, you're worthy to bless because you did the Shabbat a favor. You went and fought for the Shabbat and you spoke in that town and the Shabbat owes you. The Shabbat owes you one. And therefore I knew you're going to be able to give her a blessing in the Zechut of the Shabbat. It is the Shabbat that brought the blessing. And we learn from over here that one that keeps the Shabbat keeps him. It's a two-way street. Kol ha-shomer et ha-shabbat, says the Midrash. Ha-shabbat meshamero, the Shabbat protects him. It's an insurance. It's a two-way street. And therefore, you defended the Shabbat? The Shabbat owes you one. The Shabbat has to defend you. You stop those people from halul Shabbat. You have a koach now. Your berach has to come true. And the zechut of Shabbat, and she gave birth fine. That's the koach of Shomrei Shabbat. Ki hi mekor ha-beracha. That's the source of all blessings. Everybody's looking for blessings. Somebody goes to the store, gets himself a couple of red strings, red ribbons. It used to be tie a yellow ribbon. Now it's tie a red ribbon. Another one's where it has a key connected to his neck with all sorts of holy names. I don't say it's holy names. Wearing a key. What is that exactly? The key to Parnasa. What about Lot Tignov? No, I got a key. Key le'olam hazdo. Another person has a kamiya, or an amulet attached to his undershirt. What is that? It's good luck charm. Everybody's looking for the quick fix. Everybody's looking for an instant rabbit's foot. Sigulot. But what about what the Hakamim say on every Leil Shabbat of Shlomo El Kabetz? He couldn't have said it better when he said, "Likrat Shabbat lechu v'nelcha ki hi mekor ha-beracha." Go run after the Shabbat. The source of blessings is in Shabbat. That's where the blessing, the pool of beracha is in Shabbat. You want a blessing, you know where to go to? Go to the Shabbat. Shemirat Shabbat, that's where the blessings emanate from. That's the source, that's the wellspring, ki mekor. It's like you're looking for where the source of the water is. You dig, you go under the ground, you find out here's the spring. If you're looking for the source of blessing, you want to trace it back to its lowest common denominator, it comes right to the Shabbat. Ki mekor ha-beracha. That's the nikuda im sa'it. That's the beracha that sends out rays to all the six pieces of the pie. Incidentally, that's why we have six halot over the Shabbat. Two on this Shabbat, two on Shabbat lunch, and two on Seudah Shlishit. Each halah represents another day of the week. You break from six halot, each halah brings beracha, parnasah, halah's parnasah, to each day of the week. There's Shabbat, two halot, that's Sunday, Monday. Shabbat afternoon, Shabbat morning, two more halot, that's Tuesday, Wednesday. Shabbat afternoon, Seudah Shlishit, Thursday, Friday. That's why people are wondering why business is off on Thursday and Friday at the end of the week. Because they're having bananas for Seudah Shlishit. They don't want to wash for bread. You're lacking the last 2 days. You're getting a small chair farm. I think it's all according to what you put into the Shabbat. You're setting up the olamot. Last but not least, we'll just conclude with one last ma'aseh. What does it mean, then you have the Shabbat? The great Gaon of Yechezkel Abramsky, alav shalom, the author of the Chazon Yechezkel, he told a story about his father-in-law. His father-in-law was the Radbaz. The Radbaz wrote a
colossal pirush on the Yerushalmi. Very difficult to learn Talmud Yerushalmi. It's a different language, a different style. And the Radbaz is the classic pirush on Yerushalmi. The Radbaz was sick. Could be said he was on his deathbed. So he turned to Borei Olam in that state and he said, Borei Olam, give me more life. What do you want me to do? I wrote already a pirush on the Yerushalmi. If you give me life, if you want me to write, I'll write a pirush on the Bavli also. This was the deal he was going to make. He says, just give me guidance. Tell me what you want from me. The Radbaz then fell asleep. And when he woke up, he told his wife that they came to Min Shamayim and they said, if you prepare for the Shabbat and already you'll set the table from Friday morning and already you'll be waiting for the Shabbat to enter, the Shabbat will protect you and give you long life. V'kach haveh. He accepted upon himself to be early for Shabbat and he lived. God said, we don't need another pirush on the Bavli. Pirush on the Yerushalmi was fine. Shemirat Shabbat. What do you mean Shemirat? Shemirat Erev Shabbat. Which is our subject in itself. Baruch Hashem, Shomre Shabbat we have. But what we don't have is Shomre Erev Shabbat. You see, Shabbat is a three-pronged holiday. It's an Erev Shabbat, it's a Shabbat, and it's a Motzei Shabbat. We have a Friday and a Saturday night and a Shabbat in between. That's not the three prongs. Erev Shabbat in the olden days was a preparatory day for Shabbat where Tevilat Mikveh, Netilat Sipurnayim, polishing shoes, preparing the halot, preparing the nerot. And that gave the Radbaz life, said the Vyaskel Avramsky. Because he prepared already for the Shabbat, Mebe'odyom, he was already early in the preparations. That shows you what beracha. The beracha is even on Friday. Could you imagine if that's the beracha that comes on an Erev Shabbat that can give you life? What's the beracha that a Shabbat can bring? Shabbat minus okul fu'atok rabad avo. This is what we're talking about. Vero amar is hasid. You can't be a Shomer Shabbat until you're a Lomed Shabbat. You have to learn Shabbat. And Be'ezat Hashem, kol hame'anek et Shabbat, anybody that enjoys the Shabbat, physically and spiritually, notnim lo nahala b'li mitzarim. God gives him a lot that has no boundaries. Va'achaltika nahalat Yaakov abicha, that says, ufaratzta yamba v'kedma v'safona v'negba. Nachala b'li mitzarim. You know, so we should be zocheh. That we should be from the Shomrei Shabbat kedeva'eh, like we're supposed to be. I'm sorry. I know we're going over time. If the affiliates want to cut us off now, it's fine as well. But I must read to you. I had it opened and I didn't know if I'm going to get to it. I must read to you an Igeret that I came across, called the Igeret of the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra lived about 850 years ago, to be Abraham Ibn Ezra. He tells you, "Vahi b'shnat arba'at alafim v'tesha me'ot v'tesha esre." It was in the year 4919. In the middle of the night, Friday night, Leil Shabbat, on the 14th day of the month of Tebet. Ani Abraham ha-Sefaradi, ha-Nikra ben Ezra. Hayiti be'ir achat, I was in one of the cities, Me'are Hai, in the Hai region. Ve'ani hayiti yashen, I was sleeping. Ve'shenati areba alai, I was resting, was sweet. Ve'ed b'chalom mal'ach, I saw an angel came to me in a dream. Ve'ine omed le'negdi, kemar e'gevri, he stood like a man in front of me, ve'yado igeret, and he had a letter. This is a letter from the Shabbat. The Shabbat has written you a letter. He says, I was dancing for joy. I bowed.
V'abarech et Hashem asher kibedani zeh hakavod hagadol. What an honor. I get a letter from the Shabbat, a postcard from the Shabbat. Ve'et pesenna b'shtei yadi. I grabbed it with two hands. V'yaday natfumor. My hands were dripping. Ve'ekre'enna. He says, V'tehi b'reshita b'fiki d'vash lebatok. The beginning of the letter was sweet like honey. Ach b'kori hatorim acharim. And I got to the end of the letter. I almost passed out. It seems in the letter they rebuked him as if he was a mechalel Shabbat. He says, what do you want? I've been a shomer Shabbat from when I was young. Umi bechol abadav kamoni ne'eman umadua shalha elai zot ha'igeret vayomer li. So the angel says, it has been told to me that one of your students has given you a chumash with a commentary. And based on that commentary, it promotes desecration of Shabbat. And the Ibn Ezra said he woke up. And he remembers one of his students recently gave him a new commentary on the chumash. And he went and he searched for it. And he found it. Va'otsiya sifarim chutzah, he went out in ora lebana, because there was no lights on, he had to go to read it by the moonlight. Ve'ine kotev, one of the students wrote a perush, that in Judaism, the day begins not at night, but the day begins in the morning. Said the Ibn Ezra, you know what that means? If the day begins in the morning, when does Shabbat begin? Shabbat morning. That means what? Friday night is considered Friday. That means he's promoting Chilul Shabbat. He's telling you can go to work on Friday night. To him, Shabbat is Shabbat morning and Shabbat night, like the Goyim. He says, when I saw the book, listen to the end of the story. V'kimat kat. Karachti bigdi, he says, I made kiri'ah. He ripped his garments. Ve'gam karachti ze'a perush. He says, I ripped the commentary into shreds. Ki amarti, tov lehalel Shabbat ehad, ve'lo yehalelu Yisrael Shabbatot arbe, im yir'u ha'perush hara hazeh. I ripped it up. But you can't rip on Shabbat. He says, better to rip on Shabbat, to break the Shabbat momentarily, so this commentary doesn't get into the wrong hands, and there'll be mechalel Shabbat for the ages. And then he writes, listen to what he says. V'ha'amamin b'perush hazeh, and anybody that accepts and believes this commentary, Hashem yinkom nikmat ha'Shabbat mimenu. May the Shabbat take a revenge on this person. V'akore oto bekol gadol. Everybody reads this perush. Tidbak lishono lechiko. His tongue should get stuck to his palate. Gam ha'sofer ha'kotev oto. And the scribe that writes it. Ziro'ot hibash. His hand should dry up. V'en yimino. Kahot tekeh. And he should go blind in his right eye. U'l'kol b'nei Yisrael ha'ya'or b'moshbotam. This is the inyan, how the hachamim, they stood strong for the perush. Somebody said a perush that has could lead to halul Shabbat. Eved gadol le'yehudim. And Ibn Ezra then went and wrote one of the most beautiful bakashot that we still sing on Shabbat. Ki ishmerah Shabbat el yishmereni. Oti le'ol me'ad, like we started. Beno uveni. This is the song of the Ibn Ezra. He came to write such a beautiful song to talk about the protection of the Shabbat, that the Shabbat protects us. And it's the sign. You know, so we should be zocher to be from the Shomrei Shabbat ve'emet.